I want to have you stand this morning, please. Take your Bibles if you're standing. By the way, raise your Bible up today if you've brought your Bible today. Those of you who bring your phones in here, very weak. I have yet to see a person memorize their phone. Don't be honest. You don't memorize your phone. And I'm not picking on you because some of you brought your phones in here. I know it's this generation we live. We can't do away without them, right? Philippians chapter 4. I know you're going to yell at me and boo me and say, man, I'll be glad when this sermon's over. That's okay. That's all right. That's two of us. Philippians chapter 4. I want you to look at verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Father, thank you for your words today. Lord, we have a lot to learn, and there's a lot to be understood. And Father, today in the world in which we live, chaos abounds, disagreements, discontent. And so when we look at these words, when Paul wrote those words from prison to this church, he said, I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Father, bless your word today, and we thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk today about contentment. How content are we in this world in which we now live? How contented do we find ourselves in the world today? Are we happy with our lives? Are we glad we're in the position that we're in today? Do we really find ourselves, as most of us in this room are, groaners, moaners, and complainers? How do we classify ourselves to that? Paul writes this to this church at Philippi, and he's in prison, and yet he can say, as you read this, that he's content, no matter where he is. Learning to be content. Listen to this little poem. As a rule, man is a fool. When it's hot, He wants it cool. And when it's cool, he wants it hot, always wanting what is not. Never satisfied. That is never satisfied. We are people that seem to be dissatisfied with very little in this life. So where does contentment come from? What is there about contentment? Or what is it that makes a person content in this life? Paul says later on, he wrote to his son Timothy, he said, Timothy, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing, period. To love his appearing. I was talking to Ted back here, and we were talking about the world today. Chaos abounds. Chaos, discontent. No one is satisfied. We find, and I've said this so many times, in America, we're a divided country. Divided. How do we ever come together? It will never happen unless we find ourselves where contentment comes and willing to justify what God has to say. We long to be content in this life. One of my favorite, advertisements on TV is those individuals who want to promote gold. Promote gold. Oh, you got to have gold in your portfolio to make sure that you're there at the end. You know what? There's not a person in this world that doesn't make it to the end. But how content are we with where we are in life? How content? Waiting to be content consumes our lives today. Paul mentioned that in the last days, men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Boy, we love pleasure, don't we? Don't misunderstand me. I stayed up last night till after midnight watching ball games. I love basketball. Always have. But boy, do we waste a lot of energy and a lot of time watching that square thing sitting on the shelf. Contentment. I love it when Purdue wins. My team. I just want to throw this out there, and this isn't part of the sermon, but Bonnie Rowland has switched teams from IU to Purdue. She told me this morning, she told me a while ago, I'm going to go home today and I'm going to watch Purdue. She's hoping they get beat, but she's watching Purdue. But everyone in this room, we're working, we're looking, we're shopping for contentment. And where do we find it? Where do you find the pleasures in this life? Where do you find it? Does it take vacations? If it took vacations, it certainly wouldn't be that for Paul. He's in prison. Now, the prisons in America today were nothing like the prisons in Rome in Paul's time. There were no three meals a day, no TV in the afternoon, none of that stuff. Every day we're doing that. The problem is we're looking for contentment in all of the wrong places. We're looking for contentment in the wrong people. We're looking for contentment in the wrong things in life. And in Luke chapter 12, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 12 in your Bibles. Go to the left there and go to the Gospel of Luke. And here is an individual that we would say, wow, you know. In Luke chapter 12, we find the story here in verse number 16. Luke 12, verse 16. Okay, I shared this not too long ago, but about this individual. In my Bible, I've characterized the man, this individual, as the man with six eyes. The man with six eyes. If you look at verse number 16, Luke chapter 12, verse 16, and Jesus spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Wow. He's rich. He's got a lot of land, okay? And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Isn't that? He said, I want to live the end of my life, and I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. Boy, you would say, well, he's living the American dream, isn't he? Going right out to the end of his life. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20, though. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So is he. All of us that lay up treasures on earth and are not rich towards God, God would say to you and I today, thou fool. Foolish. And God calls this individual a fool. America would call him the American dream. Much goods laid up for many years. And we learn contentment. What do we learn? What do we learn? And we just say this about contentment today. Contentment doesn't come from a position. I mention that because, you see, it isn't the idea of getting better in life. Contentment's not that. You can have the best position in the plant. You can have the most salary that's there. Every single individual wants, it seems like, wants to build themselves up higher and higher and higher. For what? What does it gain? Contentment doesn't come from a position. It won't come, I can guarantee you, it wouldn't come to being president of the United States. Who would want to do that job? But what are you looking for today in position? Are you like this man today? You say, I have much goods laid up for many years. You know, I've worked my whole life. I've got a good bank account. I've got gold. I've put in my portfolio gold. And you know what? I think I've got enough to make it to the end. You do. Someone else may use it. I was talking to, I was talking to Chad's father the other day at a ball game. We were sitting there side by side. And Chad's father's name's Fred. And he said, you know what? Life is short. I said, yes, it is. He said, this past week, there was a young man that used to work for me. He wasn't very old. He said, he's only like 55 years old, and he just died of a heart attack that quick. He thought he had it all. I said, Fred, that's life, isn't it? He said, and I admired him for it. He said, you better be ready. You better be ready. I find today, and I've heard this before, You're never ready to really live until you're ready to die. And you know how to die. God called this man a fool because his priorities were in the wrong direction. Contentment doesn't come from a paycheck. We're never content with how much we seem to make or have. We always seem to desire more, and that's what we see in America society today. But number two, contentment doesn't come from something that you purchase either. We purchase a lot of things. We all have heard the statement, money can buy you happiness. Temporarily. Maybe. How many people today try to teach their young kids as they grow up, get off, go out, make a lot of money, get a good job, make a lot of money? Now, I'm not against working. I'm not against working at all. In fact, I believe the principle in the scriptures is if you don't work, you don't eat. But how many times do we give our young people the wrong idea about work? But money never brings contentment. Solomon found that out. You read the book of Ecclesiastes. He had it all. Probably the wealthiest individual who has ever lived. I happened to come across the wealthiest people in the world yesterday on my phone. I don't know why it popped up, but it did. The wealthiest people in the world. Any of you, did it pop up on any of your phones? Okay. Elon Musk is the wealthiest man in the world. $736 billion is what he's worth. Billion. He is going to be the first individual to have a trillion in the next 10 years. Trillion. How many of us would trade places with Elon Musk? What does the Bible say? What shall it profit a man, though he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, I don't know the spirituality of Elon Musk, but I think I do. I think I do. Money will never bring contentment. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I want to go back. You know what I want to really go back to? And this will be difficult. I want to go back to the days where you have to get up and change the knob on the TV. Yeah, I mentioned that the other day. I think it on Wednesday night, I mentioned that. Remember, see, you young people in here, you don't know what it is to not have a remote. You had to get up. I remember coming home from school as a young boy and sitting there. Sally would do this too. And Cindy, I don't think you remember that, if we didn't have it at that time when you were there. But anyway, we would come home from school. We'd go into our living room. And here we had a little black and white TV. And we would sit in front of that black and white TV, as close as I am to this flower, and watch the Little Rascals. Yeah. Life was simple. Life was so simple. There wasn't anything in life that seemed to be that which distracted us. And we were kids. You're no different than we were. Or we're no different than you are now. Today, as I mentioned it this morning, kids spend hours and hours, and now you don't watch TV, you just watch your phone. Could you live without your cell phone? Could you live without, well, you wouldn't want to, but could you live without it? Sure. Sure. Contentment doesn't come from that which we purchase. Now, number four, I think, is contentment doesn't come from possessions, as I mentioned that there in Luke 12:15. Beware of covetousness. We live in a society today of covetousness. For a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of things. Now, like the bumper sticker, some of you have heard me say this, the bumper sticker, he that dies with the most toys still dies. But here's the thing. Of that was the bumper sticker that he who has the most toys sure has fun. Really? Fleeting. Solomon had it all, but was he content? You cannot be content with 600 wives or 400 or however many you had. It's hard to be content with one. Joe Britton taught me that.
He said he wouldn't do it.
Well, I know. But contentment doesn't come from pleasure either. Paul says, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. You know, in a couple of weeks, we're going to see the national championship. One of the things that I have enjoyed about the basketball tournament this year is when a coach gets on there and he's talking about his team, but he says, first of all, I want to give thanks to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because without him, we wouldn't be here. And when I see a player get up and they're interviewing him and he says the exact same thing, I give God the glory for what he allows me to do. Scripture tells us that in the last days, men will love pleasure more than God. Pleasure. I think it's already there. I think it's already there to a large degree. Notice that contentment is learned. If you look there at verse number 11, if you're still there in Philippians, it's learned, achieved through understanding, learned. It's not in position or purchases or possessions or pleasures. It's learned. It's learned through prayer. It's learned through peace with God. Verse 7 through 9 there, it talks about the peace of God, which passes understanding. So keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What is peace with God? It brings contentment. Peace with God. What is peace with God? It's when we know that my life is hid in Jesus Christ alone. Not in anything else this world affords, but my life is hid with Christ. We find there in Romans chapter 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But the thing that comes after peace with God is the very peace of God that invades our hearts and our lives. That's where contentment comes from. If you're there in Philippians, I want you to go to the right, about two pages to the book of Colossians, chapter number 3 and verse 15. You can get there a lot quicker on your cell phone, I know. Colossians 3:15. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Wow. It comes through, the peace of God comes through the word of God. And looking at verse number 20, you look there in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself by him, I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, having made peace with God. It comes through the word of God, and it comes through prayer, and it comes through the power of God. It comes through the provisions that God gives us. We were talking on Wednesday night, and one of the verses says that he that waits upon the Lord shall renew his strength. And shall mount up with wings as eagles. He shall run and not be weary, and he shall walk and not faint. Waiting on the Lord. That's where we really need to be. The power of God in our lives. The sovereign, majestic. He can move the mountains in our lives. We sang that song, he can move mountains. Every one of us in this room has mountains. If you don't have them right now, you will. There'll be situations that we come across that will absolutely blow us out of the water. That's where the very power of God and the provisions of his faith come in. Through the provisions of God, wait on the Lord. My God, in verse 19, shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You have a need today? What's your need? Oh, we like to think things are going smooth. We like to think things are going along without any hitches in life. Boy, if that's the case with you, praise God. But just hang around for a while. It'll get worse. Scripture doesn't tell us something that's false. It says, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. That's contentment. Being able to sit back and say, God, you have a marvelous plan. You're working out your plan in my life, and I thank you for it. Through the presence of God in our lives, we ask ourselves then the question today, how content are you? Are you satisfied? You see, as Christians, if we get satisfied in our spiritual life, look out. We're to constantly be growing and improving and in learning and to studying and to learning more and more and more all the time. That's the reason I say, and you can fault me on this, I believe in Bible memorization. I believe when the scripture says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. It works. If I mentioned the name Johnny Erickson Tada, many of you would understand who that is. She's a quadriplegic, 17 years old. She's now my age. She's lived as a quadriplegic since she was 17, when she drove off of a pier into shallow water and she severed the spine in her neck. She lives with her husband and the caregiver in excruciating pain. But here's the thing. She said, I have to have someone lift me up, put me in a wheelchair. I have to have someone to dress me. I have to have someone to fasten the bag to my leg for my bodily functions. I have to have someone to, most of the time, do that. But she learned to paint. She learned to be an artist by taking the brush and sticking it in her mouth and painting their mouth. Excruciating pain. There's not a one of us in this room that would trade places with her. I know. No. But I'll tell you this. He wouldn't trade places with any of us either. No, she would not. Because she has found that God has given her the very peace that passes all understanding in her heart and in her life through the very suffering that she has had to go through. Oh, she makes it very evident. She said, I wanted to kill myself. She said, I couldn't even do that. There was no way. There was no way. Let's stand this morning. Contentment. Where is Jesus Christ in your life? In our lives, he wants to have the preeminence, doesn't he? He deserves the preeminence. He won't take second place. He will not allow himself to ever be lowered from his position in anyone's life whatsoever. Ever. He is King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. And every one of us in this room and every one of us in the world today is going to bow our knees before him. And to the glory of his heavenly Father, we're going to say, Jesus is Lord. Some will do it voluntarily. I'm glad I've done that. And we'll do it for eternity. Because he is. But there will come a day when those who said, like this rich man, I have much goods laid up for many years. I'm going to live it up. Maybe that's Elon Musk. I don't know. I hope not. But he'll bow. He'll bow. Don't leave today without Jesus Christ. Don't leave today without knowing, without a doubt. It's the peace that passes all understanding. Well, keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Father, thank you today. What a beautiful day to praise God. What a beautiful day to be able to say that you're Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we won't have this day again, but we sure do praise you for it today. And we thank you for the privilege of hearing, reading, and Lord, studying your word. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen. Shake hands, please, before you leave.